didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh, my sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal.
Bring the house lights up just a little bit. If you haven't had an opportunity to sign our attendance pads, I couldn't get that word out. If you hadn't had a chance to send that to sign this, especially if you're a first-time visitor, do please let us know who you are and your address, because I always like sending a handwritten note to you the next week and just asking you a few questions about what brought you to Asbury and what did you like best about it. So please make sure you sign the attendance pads, as well as all of the members here as well. It's been a hard week. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's been a hard week, and not for my household, but for the Asbury household. We have some people that are in hospice. You hear me call out the name Larry Brown every Sunday that I stand before you. Larry is not doing well. I will tell you that. And I haven't heard an update this morning, but Mary Ellen Murray, many of you know her. She is the spouse of a longtime Methodist pastor. Well, this past week, when Pastor Mary and I were go visit her, Mary Ellen is singing hymns, and she's quoting scripture. 94, 95 years old. And she has lived a long and fruitful life. And she will hear those words soon. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Please be in prayer for all of the Murray family. It will be a joyous occasion. She'll leave many loved ones here behind, but she is going to a place that we all long to be. Others that are in the back of the bulletin. Janet Brandt. Janet is doing very well. She attended today, but she still has some recovery to do. Clifford Smith. Many of you know Clifford. Clifford is not doing well. I'll stop right there. Becky Flynn, and I've already mentioned Larry Brown and Mary Ellen Murray. We have a lot of joys, but we also have a lot of sorrows this week. So please be in prayer for these and others. I know there are many others. Do be in prayer for everyone this week. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's seek some comfort and go into His throne room. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your presence in this place. You're so loving and gracious to your children. Father, we do not deserve to be in your presence, as we are all sinners. But we are sinners saved by grace. Grace you have freely given us through your Son and washed our sins away. Lord, help us to remember we are saved by grace through faith, and nothing, absolutely nothing, we can do on our own. Father, we often examine the days of Abraham and Jacob and compare them with the present. The world has developed so many mechanisms of power, powerful medicines, powerful electricity generators, powerful means of transportation, and yet powerful weapons of war. Even in the face of all this power, never ever let us forget your power is infinite. You have the power to bring worlds into existence or to cause floods to cover the earth with just your words. When we tune our hearts and ears to you, we can receive your power to endure hardships, pain, and sorrow. Even in the midst of our trials, your power can give us peace and joy. Remind us daily that alone we are powerless against this world, but with your power, we can accomplish things we could never imagine. Let us accomplish great things for your kingdom through your power today. We pray all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As your ushers come forward, just thank you. You are such a giving church. People are blessed because you are blessed. Let us always keep that giving heart inside of us, and that is a heart of God. Remember, God gave everything. He gave his Son for us. Let's keep that attitude in our hearts. Let's pray. Great provider, we thank you for the blessings you have given us, just as you have promised. Help us to remember there are others in need, and we are the vehicles of your blessings. Bless these tithes and offerings to further your kingdom here on earth until your Son comes again in glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love, the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it. We need before we say.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. You're there for us when things are going well, and you're the reason things are going well. You're there when things are going bad, and you attempt to lead us back to you. We make mistakes every day. We fall short of your grace every day. But God, we thank you so much for your endless grace, your endless love, for it provides and always works for your good. And we trust in you. Be with Pastor Doug as he comes forward and delivers his message today. And God, we just ask that you speak through him this morning and you touch our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Now we're on. Now we're there. We didn't have power. We take a lot of things for granted in our lives, and power is one of them. Electricity. We plug a lamp into a wall, we flip the switch, and the light bulb comes on. We don't think a second thing about it. But let one ice storm come through central Arkansas and a few limbs hit on some major power lines, and things go dark and people squeal. There's no central heat. There's no charging cell phones. And certainly, much to Cindy's chagrin, there's no cooking microwave popcorn in the microwave. A staple in my house. Well, last week, this part of Little Rock was darkened when it lost power. Asbury was affected in the same way we are when we're in our homes. No lights, no amplifiers, or no computers or projectors to put words or pretty pictures up on screen. But the generators were fired up, I understand, and extension cords were run, and some lights were brought into the back of the sanctuary. You know, we've come to rely on electrical power so much, we think we can't live without it. What would it be like? And here's the question. What would it be like that if we felt the same way that we couldn't live without it? We felt the same way about the power that we receive from our Heavenly Father. This morning, I'd like for us to look at just a few of the many ways Jesus received power from the Father through his relationship with him. Now, truly, I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going to read just a few verses. You could probably say them by heart. And as I pray, I want you to feel these words this morning as I read them aloud. Yes, it's not dark yet. Here are those words. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me for just a moment? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. And there is power in your word. Just as your son received power from his relationship with you, we have power through your word. Speak to us this morning through this message. And not my words, Father, but yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. No, you did not go blind. The lights have been lowered. This is a Lenten season, and this morning, this message is just a little bit dark, and I want you to hear it in the same way that you're seeing it. Now, I'm going to apologize right now. As I was preparing for today's message, I had to think about my own relationship with my earthly father, and I may get a little bit emotional talking about dad, because you see, and it's already started, dad was my hero. And I wish I could tell him that again today. But you see, Dad went home to be with his Heavenly Father 4 years ago this month. So you're going to have to excuse me and bear with me just a little bit if I have to pause. There are four aspects of Jesus' relationship to the Father that we're going to examine today. He received power in approval. He received power in presence. He received power during times of struggle. And he received power to endure. First, approval. Many of you know that I grew up in a military family. And for those of you who may have done the same thing, you know the military is all about performance. Be the best. Always be the best. I excelled because of that attitude at many things when I was young and into my teenage years. After Dad retired from the Army at 22 years from active duty, he moved us to a little town in western Arkansas you've heard me mention many times, Greenwood. Well, my dad started his own commercial refrigeration and air conditioning business that covered eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas, a huge area. And because of this, Dad wasn't home very much. I was an accomplished percussionist when I was in the high school band, even writing music for the percussion section. Yeah, that surprises you. But Dad didn't have time to come to many concerts, if any. My basketball proficiency was also pretty astounding. At 5'9", I don't look it now, but 145 pounds, I could run down court. And coach would throw me a volleyball when a visiting coach would come as an intimidation factor. He'd say, go stuff that volleyball, Walker. And I could run down court and jump up and dunk a volleyball. I couldn't do a basketball because I couldn't hang on to it. But I could stuff a volleyball. And I was a state class sprinter when I was in high school. And I held, my record stood for almost 20 years in that district of the state in the 100 meter dash. Surprisingly, for those of you who understand, my 40 yard dash time was 4.25. I was quick. In everything I did, I sought the approval of my dad. But he was never around. When I went to basic training, I carried on that attitude. I finished first out of 850 cadets in my cycle, number one, which named me as one of the top three cadets in the nation for that year. When I came home, I was tired. But Dad pulled me aside, away from everybody, and he said, son, I'm proud of you. You see, it was something that we could share. It was a military experience. And he did the same thing to me before I went on my first combat deployment. I was now part of a military brotherhood, a sharing with my dad, and he was proud of that. I will never forget those two moments. And it wasn't about the concerts that he missed or the track meets that he missed or the basketball games. Those two moments I will cherish, and the others pale in comparison. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we have record of that. What we don't have is a lot of information about what went on when he was growing up. But we can assume, according to the Jewish tradition, that Jesus learned carpentry skills from his earthly father, his adopted father, if you will, his legal father, Joseph, because that was the family business. But at 30 years old, when it became time for Jesus to begin his ministry, Jesus went to the Jordan River to be baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. Undoubtedly, Jesus had prayed many times to his heavenly Father as he was growing up. But this was the beginning of a new phase, a new mission, if you will, for Jesus. John argued with his cousin about his worthiness to baptize who he knew was the Messiah. John was filled with the Holy Spirit, from birth. And that spirit revealed who Jesus was to him. But he relented and he baptized Jesus. As Jesus came out of the water, it turned into a family affair. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and then the Father's voice came from heaven. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, we find these words, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased.'" When I heard the words from my dad, "I'm proud of you," I felt like I could do anything. But when I found out he was going all over town, bragging to people about my accomplishments that I had achieved, it meant even more to me. You see, Dad had acknowledged to everyone about me, showing how proud he was. This day of Jesus' baptism, the Father was telling everyone who was present that day how pleased he was with his Son, putting a stamp of approval not only on the example that Jesus gave in this sacred moment and sacred act, but how pleased he was with his Son beginning the ministry that he was sent to earth to do. The Father put his mark of approval on his Son's ministry that day in the same fashion earthly fathers give blessings and approval as their children set out on life-changing adventures. Dads, when's the last time you told your children that you're proud of them? If you can't remember, there's your homework. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. Some of my favorite memories of Dad when I was little was when we went fishing or hunting. He taught me how to bait a hook, and he taught me how to cast a lure. And I wasn't very good at this one. How to be still sitting on the bank of a pond, which, as all of you know, is a pretty hard thing for a little boy to do without throwing stuff in the water and scaring the fish away. I enjoyed spending time with my dad. When he wasn't off doing army stuff, he'd set me in his lap and he would let me drive the truck from the gate of the pasture down to the pond bank when we go fishing sometimes. I felt so big when I was with Dad on our fishing or hunting trips. I wanted to be just like Dad in every way. Jesus likewise received power from his Father when he was present with him. In chapter 17 of Matthew, we find Jesus was so much like the Father, the presence of the Father shone on Jesus. In verse 2 of that chapter, we read, "There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." In that moment, Jesus and the Father became one. And Jesus received power from being in the presence of the Father. Heaven opened up. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in front of Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Sons sometimes want to be like their fathers. I dressed like Dad when I was little, and even to this day, I hear some phrases coming out of my mouth that came out of my father's mouth, and I shudder when I do that. But I just think on that day when Jesus was transfigured, Jesus' voice probably sounded a little bit like his Father's voice. Once again, God made his presence known by saying in verse 5 of that chapter, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus told his disciples, as we know, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But on this day, Jesus radiated the light and the power of the Father, and certainly received that power in his Father's presence. I have an admittance for you. I admit, when I was growing up, I thought my dad was dumb as dirt. Yes, I didn't listen to him very much, because when I turned 16, I was a grown man. So I thought, I was driving, I'm grown. Around 18 years old, something happened. Dad stopped giving me advice, probably because I didn't listen to it when I was younger. And I began to seek it and to ask Dad things. Even when I was in college in Fayetteville, I would call Dad and ask him what I should do given the situation. All of a sudden, Dad started to get a lot smarter when I turned 18 years old. In my late 20s, I'd call Dad for advice, and all of a sudden his response changed. Well, Doug, what do you think you should do in this situation? Dad knew he had taught me how to act in good times and how to handle things during times of struggle. I truly wished he would just tell me what I was supposed to do during those times. But he didn't. And in retrospect, he knew the almost 30 years that he had spent teaching me when we were together was over. And he did well. He knew it. Jesus was no different. When he needed recharging, when he needed rest, or needed comforting, he sought out his Heavenly Father, and he sought him out alone. After Jesus fed the 5,000 plus the women and children on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, he sent the disciples on ahead in a boat. Remember, Jesus withdrew to the mountainside and he prayed. He needed the Father to renew his strength, because even though Jesus was divine, Jesus was fully human as well. He needed some alone time with his heavenly dad. And when Jesus faced the struggle of all struggles, after the Last Supper with his disciples, he took them out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Once again, he took Peter, James, and John with him on ahead, separate. And he said, stay here and pray while I go on further. Jesus sought power from the Father during this time of immense struggle. He prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knew what was going to happen the very next day. And the human side of him was in great agony. But Jesus received power from the Father to continue on in this plan. The plan that the Father had sent him to earth to accomplish. I always called Dad when I had struggles, and his voice on the other end of the phone was somehow comforting, very comforting. Jesus sought out his Heavenly Father during times of struggles and received comfort and assurance from him. Lastly, we received power from our fathers to endure some pretty hard stuff. Growing up, all I ever wanted to be was just like Dad. I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to be in the army, and I wanted to serve this great nation because my dad was my hero. I wanted to be just like him. In 2004, picture this. I was laying on my cot at the base north of Baghdad. I had just gotten back from the bunker where we had just, we'd run to early of a morning because we had received a rocket attack. I was laying there, yes, scared as can be, and it hit me. I had realized my goal. I had become a combat soldier just like my dad did in Korea and two times in Vietnam. At that moment, I can't tell you what washed over me, but it was power. We were rocketed or mortared every other day for the first half of that deployment. But because of my earlier realization and knowing what my dad had been through, I had the power to endure even in the time of chaos. Jesus had spent many times in prayer with the Father. He had received the Father's approval at his baptism. He had been transfigured, showing the glory of God while in the Father's presence. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus received not only comfort during the struggle, Jesus received the power to endure the cross. You know, sometimes we just kind of gloss over the struggles Jesus had on the cross physically. Crucifixion on a cross was the most painful and the most agonizing way the Romans could devise to execute a person. You see, on the cross, they took the person's arms and they extended them out just as far as they possibly could and at an angle. And then they bent their knees slightly. The only way that you could stay on that cross and breathe is you had to lift yourself up with your legs and take a breath because your diaphragm couldn't extend. And then to exhale, you had to lower yourself down. If the Roman soldiers got a little, okay, this guy's living way too long, they would break the legs of the condemned, and that person would literally suffocate to death. For 3 hours, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus heaved his body up to take a breath and then lowered himself to exhale. Jesus became physically exhausted. Jesus could have called down legions of angels to take him off that cross and attend to him and to defend him, but he didn't. He received power from the Father to endure one of the most cruel ways a man can be tortured to death. He stayed on that cross, and he endured pain for you and for me. At 3 in the afternoon, he cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he wasn't crying out to the Father, asking why he had forsaken him. He cried out to the Father because his heart was breaking, asking the Father, why had these people forsaken me? That is the interpretation. People who had seen him perform many miracles, they had spent time with him, and people knew who he was. He was the Messiah, had turned their backs on him. Jesus was grieving physically on that cross, but he was grieving emotionally as well. Truly, 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 his heart was breaking because they had rejected him. Today, let's remember, we can get approval. We're always, always in the presence of the Father. We cannot get away from Him, no matter where we are, We can also seek from Him the power to endure during times of struggles. And we can also seek power from Him to endure anything that's sitting in front of us. We can accomplish this as long as we keep our eyes fixed on Him. While we may not be facing the cross ourselves and that amount of struggle and pain and heartbreak, if God can do that for His Son, He stands ready to do the same for any of us who are called children of God. Let us strive to be more like Jesus every day, reflecting the love of the Father to those who really need it. If we do, the Father has some power for us that He and He alone can provide. Pray with me, please. Father, oh, we just thank You so very much. Lord, we take for granted that we have a source of power that is beyond our comprehension. Lord, we don't understand what power we have at our disposal when we claim it from You. It is nothing that we can do on our own. Father, You give us that power when we do things to glorify You and to further Your kingdom here on earth. Father, literally, if we were to take that literally, that we can move mountains when it glorifies You with just our word, if we had that much faith, collectively, individually, what could we accomplish here on this earth? Pull us close to You during this time now, Father. Whisper in our ears, tell us that You love us. Tell us that You're ready to do anything that we ask for in Your Son's name. We love You, and we thank You for everything that You have done for us today. And most of all, Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That was a tough message for me to speak and for you to hear. But you can receive power. You can receive power for anything you want to do from God, from our Heavenly Father. Pray to Him today and just ask Him to open up and show you some of that power that to give to you so you can accomplish many things no matter what we're facing in front of us. If you want to spend time at our prayer rails, please do so. If you want me to pray with you, it's such an honor to go to God's throne room with you, I'll be happy to do that. If you're here visiting with us for the first time, and God is telling you, hey, this is the place for you, come up and grab me. I'll pray with you, and we will welcome you into this faith family. It is a faith family, and we will hug on you, because this is a hugging church. Stand up, if you will. As I always say, don't do what I'm telling you to do. You do what God's telling you to do this morning.
Our God, firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground.
your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Oh, we trust the name.
You know, it is so important that we praise and we worship at the beginning of a service, because it's what these people do right here is they usher us into the throne room of God. That's truly our hearts soar when we lift our voices and praise the Almighty Father. Dads, tell your sons, tell your daughters, moms, tell your sons and tell your daughters you're proud of them today. But also tell them this, that as much approval as you can give to them, there's one who can give them much more approval, much more power than they ever thought possible. And that's from our Heavenly Father. Have them seek that person first and foremost in their life, and everything else will be added to them. Amen?
Amen.
Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you for your presence here today. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your Son who endured so much for us. Let us remember he is right with us everywhere we go, ready to give us a word that somebody may need. Father, help us to seek someone out this week that needs to hear that you love them. That's what we need to do. Father, thank you again. Go with all of these here. Keep them safe. Keep them from harm. Keep them from evil. And bring us all back safe next week where we can praise and honor your name together. And again, open the throne rooms of the doors of your throne room and walk in proudly and say, we are children of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Have a good week, everybody.